Hi, this is Todd Furst with the Philadelphia MTC. I'm a solution architect here, and this is?
Hi, this is Rich Ross. I'm also a solution architect here at the Philadelphia MTC.
And Rich is also a developer, is that correct?
That is, and you're an IT guy.
What we're going to do, we're going to try to bring the exciting things around backup and DR, which normally, are they normally thought as agile and fast and producing, you know, output quickly?
Not typically, right? We usually think they're an afterthought, you know, kind of once something has already happened, like, oh, did we back that up?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, and usually there's a guy that comes in running in with the tape, saying, hey, you forgot about this, and we got a cave we got to take this stuff to, and everyone's just like, leave us alone, we're doing real work here. So, very important topic, though. So what we're going to do today is actually bring backup and DR kind of into this modern DevOps world, and not just do it as an afterthought. I mean, we have to do that as well, but actually integrate it into the DevOps process. So that's that's the challenge we pose to you today, if you can stay with us. So really, just quick run through an agenda here. We'll pop back a little bit. We're going to try to do a lot of whiteboarding today. We have a few slides, but Rich and I are used to doing kind of these type of sessions and just kind of, you know, solutioning things out. So if you have questions, please feel free to bring them in, and we'd love to integrate them into the discussion. We're really going to hit on the two key scenarios, which again are backup and really backup as a service, and then DR as a service, and then how they hit into these pieces. And then we'll wrap up, make sure you have some of the key resources that we talked about as we went in through the session. So pretty straightforward. All right, up front.
Up front to backup, right?
To backup, that's right.
That's
only a developer could say that. That's what I believe. So there's, you know, just to take a big step back before we get into technologies and solutions, we like to say, what are the key questions that we should ask and that most people ask when you're talking about either of these topics? And one is, what scale are we talking about? And when I first saw this, I thought it was funny because I go, I know what we're talking about with DR. We're talking about DR, right?
Right.
And then Rich said, yeah, we're talking about DR. And you go, are we talking about the same DR? And then I saw this list and I went, wow, I wasn't thinking about all that. So are we talking about DR at a rack level, building, city, you know, data center level, Microsoft, country, region, and then you have to put all the geopolitical compliance and governance things around this as well. So there's actually a lot to bring in. I think this kind of simplifies it a little bit. So when we have the discussion today, we're actually going to touch on almost all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And what's unique about Microsoft that we'll put out there right now is because of the cloud scale that we have, we actually can touch on all of these. So we can do DR at a rack level, we can do it at a building level, city level, or even go out to a region. And stay within region because we're building more data centers. What just for the time capsule, how many data centers, regions do we have right now?
So as of today, the last numbers we saw were 30, we've announced 38, 30 of them being up and running with another 8 that are planned to be rolled out. So,
okay.
And those are, basically that's.
Well, and that's important because not all cloud vendors can say that. And when you have just this first question on the board here, we give you choice.
Yes.
You know, wherever your business is, we probably can service you at a local level, but also take into account that something could happen at that local level and expand us out. So,
right.
And super simple.
But definitely simple. And for some of the things a little more complex, like being able to keep your backup and keep your data within a specific region, we do have certain locales where in Germany you can fail over to, there's partner regions inside of there, so your data can stay within country. Same thing with the two regions that we have over in China that are available. So being able to keep your data inside of that sovereign ground that it needs to be stored on.
So awesome. So that right there, hopefully you got a lot out of today's show, but we're going to keep going. There's a lot more to do. So the next part is really the biggest one after that is how much data are you willing to lose? And everyone would like to say zero.
Sure.
But that has a price tag and a lot of things associated to it.
Right.
So we'll walk through some of those examples as well. So and one example pop up right now, and I decided to do it this way, is if you look at kind of going from left to right here, the kind of pinkish areas is high availability. So if a customer says, look, this is data that absolutely cannot be lost and we can't have any downtime, then it's really easy. We're having more of a high availability discussion. There still is DR, there's still backup involved, but we're gonna lean to the left. We're also gonna probably, you know, put the price tag up a little bit because you have that high level of redundancy that you need. If they're saying, look, we can lose some data, maybe 5-10 minutes, then we maybe are sitting just in a DR scenario in the middle. And then on the far right, it's a tier 3 app. So maybe, you know, tier 1 is HA, tier 2 is the middle. tier three is the green, where we can just rely on backup. We can take a longer outage, lose more data, and be out for a longer time. And what's interesting, even a single application could actually have all three layers in it. Ideally, you don't have too many of those, but but we can actually service all of those. And at the end of the day, at a minimum, you're going to look at your application portfolio across this, at least at a high level.
Right, and companies usually do this anyway. They look at the apps and they give them some kind of a, you know, level 1, 2, 3, 4 rating to those and decide, well, this kind of fits in here, and only those really business critical ones wind up being in that level one area. So it's a lot more, there's a lot more you have to build into those levels, but there's also usually a lot fewer of those in the organization too, so.
And really, at the MTC, what we do is work with customers and not just go over some best practices, but really get into the deep dive on how they could implement what we're going to talk about at a pretty prescriptive level, and even do proof of concepts where they're looking for things like that, which is exciting.
Definitely.
All right. So really, the way we look at it, it's all about the apps. We're gonna look at a few architecture patterns as we go through today, and look at how it maps back to some of the requirements that we just kind of went through, and then how we can actually leverage some of the Azure services to accomplish this and make it exciting for someone who's interested in DevOps. That's really key. So we're going to start with backup as a service, and so we'll break out into a little whiteboard and just draw a few things out. So one of the scenarios that we wanted to do is talk about, you know, on-prem applications, because we support that. We support hybrid, and we also support born in the cloud applications that might be using PaaS services. So here we have the Azure cloud from the Microsoft area here. And the bottom right could be a customer's data center, okay? And they could have tons of apps and data sitting here. And we always take that in consideration, because customers have a lot of customers have huge investments in there. They're gonna be around for quite some time. So another thing just around, you know, backup, when we talk about platforms that we support, it's really across the board. So obviously Microsoft platforms with Hyper-V, but we support VMware, we support the physical as well, and Linux. So any favorite Linux distribution you have?
I was playing with Ubuntu last night. We were doing some Azure Container Services. So
nice.
Some really interesting stuff there. So
very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll follow up with that as well. So one thing that we're not going to spend a lot of time on, so I'll make it quick, is there are scenarios where customers still have a huge investment in data center, and they might do site-to-site type of backup and DR scenarios. We're not going to really cover that today because we're really focused on the hybrid and for the customer scenarios, they're either moving to the cloud or already in the cloud. So in that case, what we can dig into are on-prem scenarios, and then also in this case, we'll say infrastructure as a service sitting over here. So we might have a series of VMs, and we'll keep this environment fairly simple. But then also we might have some PaaS services. So if you like that, and the biggest one I can think of is Azure SQL.
Azure SQL, yeah.
All right, so Rich will be talking about that in a second.
Yep,
but
take a look at that.
Yeah, so what I wanted to do is jump in and kind of show how backup has really been simplified, and we'll jump into a console just to get an idea of what that looks like from an Azure view. All right, so here we have the Azure portal. And here's a list of VMs that I have, and I'll pick on one that doesn't have a backup policy yet. So I have a bunch of MFA servers for multi-factor authentication, and they need to be backed up, but they're not that critical because they're kind of redundant automatically. Now, if I kind of bring it down here, I have several options. One is the backup option. So just using the UI, I don't need to call the backup guy or female, whoever it may be,
right,
and go with that. And I could say, look, I want to set a new policy or use a policy in my environment. So really all we do is we create a backup vault, in this case a recovery services vault, where we're going to store that data. It needs to be in the same region as the application. And if I wanted to leverage the one I have, I can do that. Then I have a policy that I can use. So the policy gets into the typical things you'd expect to talk about around backup. And this is where you might want to leverage the expertise of people in your environment. And here I have a policy already created for MFA servers, but let's create a new one just to see what it looks like. So let's just say new policy. And it's fairly simple to kind of go through this. So what's the frequency? Do you want it every day, every week? You know, in this case, the MFA servers are not as critical because they really aren't, I don't want to say they're stateless, but they're closer to that. When do we want to do that? We could say let's every Friday night. We'll make that happen, and you know, do that at 4 in the morning could be fine. Then we get into a little bit more the options below. So longer term storage, what do we want to work with? So here I could say, you know, the weekly backup, let's go for 104 weeks. The thing is, you can put these numbers up fairly high, right, for really long term retention in your environment. Same thing with your monthly backup, and same thing with the yearly backup. So, you know, get your what you used to call your tape retention cycle and have it set here. Now, what's nice about this is if I jump back to the whiteboard, when I'm kind of working here in the IaaS section, you know, Microsoft owns the underlying fabric that's hosting all these VMs, all right? And what that means is you don't need to worry about that at all. You don't need to manage that at all. Right. It also, that bleeds into the backup discussion as well, which means what if these VMs are shut off? Am I gonna be able to do a backup? And all the other scenarios you can think of. The answer is yes, because we own the fabric. When I set up that policy, whether the VM's on or not, we're gonna take a backup of it. And the key thing is it's gonna be application consistent, which means if it's an application, let's say it could be SQL, it could be any application, it could be a domain controller that has a database, things could be changing on it. We make sure that it's that we aren't taking a snapshot and a back during in the middle of a transaction, let's say. Right. And when we do that, we guarantee that we can restore to a place that's consistent.
Yep.
And you don't have to think about any of that because it's all in the box. So I don't have to think about how do I deploy additional agents in that scenario, or if my server was off, did I miss a compliance requirement that I have to back up no matter what. All those things happen, and they're really literally just clicking like I went through.
Yeah, a little bit of magic in the cloud, right? It doesn't have to be up and running. You can just, it finds it and is able to pull that data down for you.
Exactly. I mean, other than creating the vault, which we didn't do here, creating the policy is all I need to do. And
sure.
Just pick a VM and let it go. The other thing is if it's a brand new VM, if I'm creating one on the fly, all I need to do is say, here is, enable backup and I'm done. And I could pick an existing policy and I'm ready to go. And I really don't have to think about that VM again until I want that backup.
Right.
So one thing Rich likes to ask is, what about inside the VM?
Right. Right. But so exactly. So you talked about, you know, it's sitting at rest, it's not running, and you're able to do a backup. But
yeah,
you know, what if I have certain files or certain things on there that I want to just focus on those and get those back instead?
Right. Because when we look here, a weekly backup, it might be fine for this server. But what about other scenarios where I need more? I need a quicker cadence.
Yep.
Like a daily at any hour is not good enough. So this is kind of the backup as a service piece that we looked at. The rest of it that's here, you might have a scenario where you say, look, we need down to 15 minutes of recovery time. And if you do need something like that, then what we have is something called Azure Backup, which is a service in the cloud that Azure Backup Server, just to be really clear.
Right.
And that does require putting an agent in the box or the VM that you're running, but you get, I think, even more fine-grained control if you need it. But,
right, if but, you need that level.
But if you're a developer and you're just kind of spreading VMs out and working on stuff, you don't need to do any of that. You say, look, I just need to make sure that I can roll back at least once a day or something in that time.
Right. Something catastrophic happens, I need to be able to go back to something that happened or my last night version of that VM. That's kind of where I need to be.
Yeah, exactly. So that's good news right there. And you know, as far as, let me jump back to the console here. The main area that we talked about is creating a new policy. And the other areas that we can talk about are the PaaS services. So I don't know if you want to switch over to Rich's screen.
Yeah, we can do that.
If we can do that.
1 second, we'll do it here.
And so really when we're talking born in the cloud, when we're talking about born in the cloud applications, that's when we talk about either it could be pure IaaS. So for some customers, it just means they're developing everything in the cloud and not using any on-prem infrastructure. But it really is leading to using the PaaS services that are out there. And Azure SQL is one of the most critical ones because if you're gonna save state, if you're gonna have all this data, it's just, you remove all the maintenance that you have to go through when you're managing a PaaS service, which you're only managing the actual service itself in the environment, and you're not actually have to handle all the backups. Where if you're in IaaS and you're doing SQL, It's just like on-prem in the sense of all the management that you have to do in the environment. So the key thing, and this is in preview today, right? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So it's in preview. It was discussed at Ignite. And essentially what it does is allow long-term storage policies for Azure, for SQL, Azure SQL. And when we talk about long-term, we're talking multiple years, and you get the same type of control from a policy standpoint, and that we just saw at a VM level, which is pretty easy to set up. So the last piece that we'll talk about with all this is when we get into the DR section, is really how, after you have the backups covered, is now how do you look at your requirements and say for a tier one application that might need high availability, that might be using SQL always on, how do we manage that? And that application, again, might have multiple layers and multiple requirements across there. So we'll dig into that.
We can talk through it if we want to whiteboard on it or.
Okay, yeah.
Long term, so talking about the long term.
Make sure, you know what, let me restart something here.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the long term piece?
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's see.
So
here we go.
You mentioned long term, basically long term backup storage. And for our Azure SQL environments, we have the ability to include a long term backup storage option when you do backups of your database, basically. So it's a setting that we would walk through if we could show the demo from my screen here. But basically, on your server, on your database server that you have in Azure, there's one of the options there for long-term backup retention. And if you select that, you go into a set of menus that talk about the recovery storage vault, similar to what Todd showed in his backup part of the demo. You can go ahead and create one of those for your backups of your Azure SQL. And in doing that, it, as Todd also mentioned, it has to be in the same region. So wherever you're going to create that storage vault, it has to be in that same region where your data or where your database is located. Going into your, actually, we got to accept. Let's see if this works. When you get into that long-term backup retention piece, and it looks like, yeah, that's coming up.
Looks okay. Good.
So. Inside of here, it's a preview item, as Todd also mentioned. So you have to go ahead and accept that for your subscription. And when you do that, you basically click the disclaimers and say okay. You're able to go ahead and start using that in your environment. So it is a preview. There are things that can fail down or cause corruption issues potentially. So just be aware of that. You know, do this for testing purposes only. But it's certainly there for you available to start looking around, maybe from a dev and a test perspective. So once you do that, you would go ahead and. Select the database that you want to back up. So I just have a sample database created here. You go into the configure tab, and then I've created a long-term recovery vault previously. We're going to use that. And then I'm just going to give a new policy name here. Demo policy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say the number of years I want it to be. So as we mentioned, you get up to 10 years of backup long-term retention storage for that. So I'm going to just go right down the middle and say 5. We'll hit OK. And then you're not done. That's just configuring. You got to make sure you hit the save up here. otherwise, it won't go ahead and accept all those changes you just put in place. So make sure you want to go ahead and do that. And then we're going to say yes, and then it's off and running. So our policy with 5 years of retention period is now being applied to our selected databases. So very quick and easy to have long-term storage capabilities. It's a preview feature. If you're interested in it, kick the tires on it and let us know how it works for you.
And I don't think you can underestimate how wonderful that is, that you don't have to worry about changing tapes, or even if you're off tape already, saying, well, just check the backup jobs and things. I mean, you can check them here,
yeah.
But Microsoft owns that infrastructure. They're going to run those jobs for you, and they own the SLAs for that. So it's a huge, huge win, yeah. Whether in the cloud or leveraging this for on-prem as well,
yeah.
Which is nice.
Been at places where, you know, did we get the backup from last? Like, oh no, we didn't. So
yeah.
It's something not have to think about is what's great. So you can focus on building your apps, right? That's what we're interested
in. Yeah, and it's so if you were losing sleep, now you're back
exactly.
on the good pillow here. So if you want to switch over to my screen, we're talking about the Microsoft story. Everything that we're talking about is Azure's a platform. So we really need to talk about the partner story and the ISV story. So there's two places that we can do that. One is the Azure Marketplace. And we'll have, you can search for that, or we'll have the link for you at the end of the show here. And in the Azure Marketplace, there's unbelievable partners. One is Commvault. Veeam would be another one. There's actually quite a nice list. And when I kind of just go through the initial search, I can go through all the solutions that they have listed in our environment. The other option is to go over to the Azure Solutions page. And when you do that, it's really broken down by a solution view. So if I come down a little bit, you'll see here on the left-hand side, backup and archive, and then you'll see disaster recovery. So I already have these open. When we go into backup and archive, some really good case studies around things, wins that people have had. It could be in the data center, it could be in the cloud, it could be hybrid. And then we can dig into these pieces, and they're gonna take you really to the same partners again on the partner page. If I scroll down a little bit more, you'll see some of them here as well. So the reason why that's key is we have a lot of customers. They've done a lot of work. They have really specific SLAs and policies, and they're using these solutions already. What's mm-hmm. nice is they integrate in with Azure. So
yes.
At a minimum, you can get rid of tape, and at a minimum, in addition to that, you can just streamline your backup and restore procedures by leveraging the power of the cloud and maybe reduce the footprint that you have on-prem to keep all this stuff on disk.
Yeah, and so the great thing about those two ways of looking at it is however you're thinking about it, where you're thinking about it from a solution perspective, or you're thinking about it from we already have these partners we're working with, you're able to get to those same bit of locations to be able to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So that's what's great.
And just to be really clear, they'll run on-prem, and these partners have solutions that run in Azure as well. So if that's what you like, that's great. Go with what works for you, and you will be very happy because we've worked really close with them and they've done some really amazing work. All right, so back to where we were at. We were picked up here. Let me go right to DR. So when we're talking about disaster recovery, we'll jump ahead here. We're talking about DR as a service. So, and we'll talk about what that means, but generally what it means is it's less work for you, more scenarios that we're gonna cover from Microsoft own it, and then also from an application perspective as well. So Rich and I are gonna talk through a few scenarios when it gets to DR, because again, there's hybrid, there's on-prem, we'll walk mm-hmm. through them, and we'll talk through some specific examples. We'll actually go through the portal and show some examples as well. So before we get into that, I just wanted to put it at a high level to kind of set the broadness of this. So.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff here, right? So
yeah.
What you can see is, at the bottom, what OSs do we support? Basically any platform you can think of. We don't even get into, is it exactly there? That's just the OS layer. You go up one layer on the left-hand side, you'll say VMware, Hyper-V, physical machines as well. And then you go up one more layer from that column, you see the Azure cloud, but it could be any cloud that we can migrate. For example, they're showing AWS. We could migrate VMs from AWS or into Azure.
Yeah.
And so that's one scenario as well. On the right-hand side, again, we can do DR on-prem from site to site, but we're probably gonna spend more time on the left-hand side. But really our goal is any cloud we can manage anywhere, one set of tools, whether it's hybrid or pure cloud solution. So let me just jump back to the whiteboard and we'll diagram this out. You're gonna see a cloud once again, not a surprise. And in this case, we're gonna bring up a few other pieces to this. So there's a few scenarios on-prem. Again, you could have, what we're gonna show is a VMware environment that we are replicating up to the cloud, okay? And the key thing is when we replicate it up, we're only using storage. You're only paying for the storage cost, because you shouldn't pay for CPU and anything else, like a higher VM, like a running VM,
right.
Unless you need it, right? So when you need it, you need it.
And that's why you're moving to the cloud anyway, right? Because you're paying for the services at the time you need them, at the scale you need them.
Exactly.
Otherwise, why you keep it all on-prem, and that's what you're doing now.
Exactly. And so this same diagram is showing two things. It's showing I have a VMware environment on-prem. For DR purposes, I've decided to kind of retire my other data centers. I'm going to replicate things up to the cloud, and I can do DR in the cloud, which means a few things. I can actually do test DR, mm-hmm. which means it puts kind of isolated network. I can run testing on that cloud and not make any impact to the on-prem environment. While that testing's occurring, we're still taking replication, so if we need to do a real failover, we could stop the test and say we need to do a real failover, we're ready to go.
Right.
But the thing that gets exciting with DevOps is that in today's world, if you're, you know, running in production and say, hey, we have a new release to put out, what do you do today to kind of minimize your risk when you say, hey, let's go, are we just gonna install it in production, or do we have, you know, we have some test VMs over here, or and then if it works well, we'll put it in production. But production's not the same as your test environment's not the same as production.
As much as we try and make it to, right?
So right.
We, you know, we try and make sure that the last step before we get to production looks like what production looks like. So yeah, we kind of run through, and we, you know, everybody kind of gets all nervous and excited that, hey, we're gonna do a deployment, and you know, so you got to run through that scenario with everybody, and kind of DevOps, kind of, because you're working that muscle a lot more, you kind of get a little more used to doing those kind of deployments.
Yeah, and so that's all good.
Yeah,
but let's make it better.
Right.
Let's bring DR and backup and make it agile and bring it part of DevOps. So
yep.
What we can do here is, because we're replicating everything to the cloud, we can actually isolate this storage and then turn on the VMs, which is an exact mirror of production, okay? So now we've turned on the VMs, and we'll be very specific. You can do that very, you know, in an exact order. So you're gonna bring up like your domain controllers, bring up your data layer, your middle tier, top tier, run scripts to confirm everything's running right. And then maybe you're gonna deploy that new update in that environment and say, what does it look like in an exact copy of production? And if anything goes wrong, you just turn it off and say, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
And you don't have to maintain this environment. It's being maintained by the actual Azure Site Recovery, which is the actual service that we're using for DR.
Yeah, and that's huge. Having gone through that from an on-premise environment and trying to build test, you deploy something, well, how do we roll back? And all
right.
of those kind of great scenarios. Here, it's you know, you push it out there. If it doesn't work, drop back to what you had before, and you're off and running.
And you're getting two for one, because you're getting that capability. At the same time, this is your DR capability,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to do anything extra to get that.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Which is really great.
So that's probably the first scenario we're gonna walk through. The other scenarios that we could talk to and that we have capabilities for include, you know, Hyper-V, physical boxes, and hybrid applications. So here I'm just saying I have a VMware on-prem environment, and I'm gonna replicate it up. But what if I have a hybrid application that exists on-prem and has pieces in the cloud? We can cover all of that, because essentially we have a very thin agent that we put on the box, whether it's physical or virtual, and it handles the replication for us. So this again is very high at a solution level, but when we work with customers, we get into the details of rolling each one of these pieces out and working through their exact requirements. So let's jump back over to Azure and into the DR section. And in this case, I'm looking at the site recovery area that we have. And what we're essentially doing is, the first thing you need to do is three steps. So one is, you know, prepare your infrastructure for your environment. That's five easy steps, it really is. So one is, am I going to, and this is what we're gonna show, VMware to Azure, that's the scenario I'm gonna go with. The next step that we show is, you know, get things prepared. So I'm gonna use what we call a configuration server. What that means is, because I have an on-prem environment, I'm going to install what we call a configuration or process server. All the changes that are happening in those VMs or physical boxes on-prem get sent to the on-prem server. They get basically compressed, encrypted, and then we send them out off to the cloud. So that's a way that we make sure that we're meeting RPO requirements as we go through there. So that's one piece. The next piece around the target is just, you know, what environment are we going to target in the cloud? And what failover area are we going to use? So here we're going to use Resource Manager in that environment. And at that point, the last piece that we have is really gets into the replication settings and what policy we're going to use. So that gets into what policy we want to set up, how often we're going to replicate, and you can control bandwidth in this case.
Right.
One other thing that we'll bring up in a minute is ExpressRoute, and that's another variable that you can bring into this as well. But for now, we'll keep it fairly simple. The last piece is then around capacity planning. So the product team did a great job with Azure Site Recovery in the fact that they created an updated way, not just fill out a spreadsheet, but the big question is, what's the churn in your environment? Because how much the amount of change that's happening is going to determine really the bandwidth requirement on the other side.
Yeah.
So they basically have an agentless way to look at your environment, and then that inputs it into the calculator that we have and gives you an idea of what your bandwidth requirements are. So getting into bandwidth, we'll jump back to the diagram here. Let's go with black for ExpressRoute. You know, everyone, as you move to the cloud, use more SaaS services, you're always gonna need to at least look at your bandwidth. And so what Microsoft has is ExpressRoute as one of the many ways that you can connect. Okay? And this is our, you know, dedicated using private networks, MPLS, fiber.
Not over the public internet.
Not over the public internet. So if you have, again, regulatory requirements or just bandwidth requirements, this is your best bet to make that happen. So you don't have to have this because if we're going to replicate from on-prem out, it can just use the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on your environment. But if you are going to do a lot or have, you know, really mission-critical applications, it's something to consider. It's something that we talk through with customers.
Absolutely. Usually comes up definitely as part of this conversation.
That's right. And the actual ExpressRoute looks better than my diagram, believe it or not. So, but, you know, that's art. Art is in the eye of the beholder.
Eye of the beholder, right.
Right. And even if that's art, that's in someone's beholder. So in this case, what we just want to take a look at is a plan that we have set up already. So let me just close this out, and we'll jump back in here. Let me jump back in. I just want to show an example of a policy that we already have set up for a very simple two-tier application running on VMware, and it's a SQL database and an application server. All right, so what I need to do here is check out what that policy looks like. And the last piece that when we look through this is relates to the actual application. So when we look at that, we can set up tiers in that application and groups. So we can actually walk through and either shut down, we call it pushing the big green button, okay? So we can actually set that off. It's gonna shut down the application. The actual replication then will stop. Once we know all the pieces have been replicated over, then we can go through the process of starting things up, and we can tier them by groups. So we'll do the data layers first, we'll then do the application layers, and we can run pre and post scripts afterwards to do anything else that we think we need to do. This could be a really small application, like a two-tier application. It could be a massive application with fairly complex requirements that actually spans across on-prem, a hoster, Azure, all of those pieces.
We can handle all of that with what we're doing here, whether
yeah.
it's big or little.
Exactly. And the more you go to the cloud, you know, the less infrastructure you have to deploy. The product team's done a great job of really minimizing. If you have on-prem environment, it's really down to just what we call that process server, configuration server, and that's just there almost like as a caching point and as an intelligence point to make sure that we're using your bandwidth efficiently as possible, and also that it's as secure as possible. But the more you move to the cloud, the less that you have to even deploy in that environment. All right, so one last thing, we'll jump over to the solutions gallery. And here we have a disaster recovery section. And again, really good customer testimonials, all the pieces that you might use in there. And again, all the partners that that are involved that have complementary solutions or solutions that you might be using today and say, let's use those. They integrate with Azure as well. So there's Azure Site Recovery, and then all the great solutions that that you might be using today, they integrate in, which is nice. So you have choice, which is really good.
What's great about everything that's offered here, right? The ability to choose what you need to use and be able to bring, you know, use the services that you're comfortable with, you know, and the experiences you have. That's what's great about it.
Yeah, so it depends where you're at. I mean, what's nice is we've been seeing, especially in the last few years, you know, customers that normally would move to the cloud very slowly. Now they're really pushing the pedal down, and they want to see what they can do. They want to be more agile. They want to use DevOps, and they really want to drive innovation. And they're seeing it. So we're actually seeing a huge, huge ramp up. And actually, in some cases where you see divestitures occurring, you'll see a multi-billion-dollar company that was part of a larger company. But even as their own standalone, they're a multi-billion-dollar company. And they don't, all of a sudden they don't have a data center. And all of a sudden all these things are, yes, we need this today. We don't have time to build any of this out. So you're saving amazing amount of times as you go through.
Yeah, the old way of getting up and running just isn't gonna work for them because of the speed they need to get up and
I mean,
going
just the with. Capital to build, and the capital and the time it would take to build that environment is just not there. So just to kind of summarize what ASR can do. So here we're showing multiple layers, multiple things happening across in the middle that you see with the replication. What's interesting when we go to the next piece is that you see that in the yellow arrows, it's the SQL availability group. So if we go back to where we started, we talked about what about an application that has high availability requirements, zero downtime, zero data loss. Well, that's where we use SQL always on groups, and that will handle the replication. And Azure Site Recovery manages that process as well. So it's not just one thing. We take a step back and say, what are all the things happening here that we can manage from a single point, have a single button to press that handles all of this? So again, in a DevOps scenario, it could be a tier one app. Say, look, we need to test the next rev.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna press the button. Replication will stop for all of these. We'll do testing, and then replication, you know, kicks off again, and we basically have that environment ready for a DR scenario.
Right, and it plays catch up and gets back up to where it is very quickly.
Exactly, and then the one at the bottom, when we're talking about Active Directory, you know, depending upon your scenario, there's no one rule, but you know, we consider AD a replication as well. So in some cases, we're gonna rely on that. In some cases, we'll say no. We'll actually use the engine inside of ASR.
So at the bottom there, we have that,
yeah,
that site-to-site VPN. So while Todd mentioned ExpressRoute in the drawings we had earlier, you certainly don't need to go that route. If you know, certainly just being able to hook up a site-to-site VPN connection into Azure is enough to get the data flowing and be able to get it to a point where you're able to do your data disaster recovery up into Azure.
And then there's always one more thing. So we talked about all these things. We have a great diagram here,
mm-hmm,
talking about DR. You can also use this as a migration tool.
Right.
So what have you seen with that?
So one of the scenarios where people are thinking about this is, so we've done, you know, from a disaster recovery scenario, we've kind of set everything up and we've started to trickle our data up into the cloud basically. Well, what if you could use that as a migration tool as well, right? You could do the trickling of the data up there, and all of a sudden you say, okay, we've got everything up to where we need. We're going to now start using our environment in Azure that we've just pushed up there with Azure Site Recovery. Hit the big red button, except we stay up there. We never have to fail back because we've moved everything to the cloud. So this certainly presents a really good migration story if you're interested in seeing about how you can get your VMs and your on-premise workloads into the cloud very easily and quickly.
Yeah, and because it's the same tool set, you can say, look, let's protect what we have, let's do that, and then one day you might say, but that's never coming back.
Exactly.
And it's that simple.
Yeah.
Goodbye and clean up the dust bunnies on the floor or whatever you got to do in the data center as you're freeing up the space.
Yeah. So the point being, you trusted enough with your back end, you know, for how you would fail over to it in that kind of a scenario, that same process can be used as the migration piece. So
that's
a great
awesome
use of the tool.
So one final just kind of note around Azure Site Recovery. Again, it's all about the applications. There's the Microsoft list here, but we have some really key application vendors, obviously SAP, Oracle. The list, there's a much longer list, but at the end of the day, this solution has been really, really hardened and scaled out. It's a multi-tenant cloud service. It's really amazing, and it just changes, really bless all the people who have been doing this in the past before this type of technology came out, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and we really did a good job, I think, of simplifying it. And there's just always more to come. So stay tuned on any other future updates and announcements. All right, so let's wrap up a little bit. We talked about backup. So we're talking about Azure backup, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, on-prem, up to the cloud, wherever you have servers, we can back them up and really, I think, change the game and simplify things and be more agile. Same thing with Azure Site Recovery and DR. You're getting, I think, three things out of this, right? You're getting DR, which is what you need to do, step one.
Yep.
You're getting some DevOps capabilities that you never had before. You can do some testing, some agile testing that you have. And then you got a migration tool that it's just when you want to press the button, that lives in the cloud, and that might be something that you think about as a longer term strategy as you move more things to the cloud or write things native to the cloud, get the rest of the organization in this DevOps cycle. So we wanted to make sure we put the links up for the Azure Marketplace and Azure Solutions. Your favorite search engine will get you there as well. But in case you like the links, we like it. Also, if you know, as solution architects, we love working with customers, getting very, very deep into their individual scenarios. So today was pretty high level, but you know, from just strategy briefings to a design session to all the way to proof of concepts.
Yeah.
The MTC and all the supporting teams that work with us inside of Microsoft partners, it's just a great place to come. So we invite you to come in, reach out to your local rep.
Yeah, definitely. So love having these discussions, and we certainly go a lot deeper than we did here in this session. But talk to your Microsoft rep. We'd love to have you here, see you come in and have a session around those.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So if you're wondering where, look on the map.
Get
a plane. Yeah. Get a plane. Get a train. Get an automobile. We'll be there for you. So we appreciate it. This is Todd First.
Rich Ross.
Thanks again, and we hope you have a great day.